Almighty and Eternal Father, we thank Thee as we can reassemble together to worship You in spirit and truth, and we were Thy children, Thy household, and have knowledge of our origin in Thee and Thy purposes as they are made known unto us. We might carry out the objectives that You have ordained when You placed us in the earth. We might recognize our relationship to Thy vast plan. We thank Thee for this great nation which is our heritage. We thank Thee, our Father, for all that You have stimulated Thy people to build and all that You have guided them to accomplish. Recognize now in this challenging area of human history that You are calling upon Thy people to still perform to carry out the objectives of Thy will. Give unto us a clear understanding of our stewardship before Thee in face of these things which we have inherited and the power that You have placed in the hands of Thy household. Of the great responsibilities also nationally of the nations of Thy kingdom, and what it is they must undertake to accomplish in this period and hour. As we commit ourselves to Thy hand, we say Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then we ask it. Amen. As we turn tonight in our discussion, the areas of stewardship, Christian stewardship, and national stewardship, there has never been a more challenging time to Christians than the time in which we live. Nor has it become more important that a proper evaluation of Christian responsibility be made. We are engaged in a struggle for survival, a struggle for the preservation of our Christian way of life and the survival of our Christian nations. We are involved in a counteraction against a strategy which is seeking to also render completely neutralize the institutions of God's kingdom. Every area of propaganda and instruction coming out of the areas of our enemy's own psychological warfare encampment is directed against every institution in America to keep you from declaring the truth and defending yourself. It is quite obvious that one of the most important things for the preservation of independence, the creation of a great sovereign national responsibility, is the knowledge of the truth. This is quite clear because of the words of Jesus, which said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And the first people that wanted to argue with Jesus about this was the Jews. In fact, when Jesus, addressing a great company of people, said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free," it was the Jews that spoke up and said, "You're not talking to us. We've never been in bondage at any time." But my, how much bondage have they tried to place upon the world? They want you to recognize that by that testimony they proved quite clearly they were not Israel. They could not have been the descendants of Abraham through either the ten-tribe kingdom of Israel in the north or Judah and Benjamin in the south, for both of these kingdoms have been in bondage. Some to Assyria, others to Babylon, and all of them to Egypt. And thus, condemned by their own word that they were not Israel and had no partner lot in this matter, they that would argue with the embodiment of God were also aware of the importance of what He said. All through the ministry of Christ, they sought to suppress His words. They wanted to liquidate and kill Him. And if you go into the history of these Christ killers in that time, they said, if we don't stop this man and destroy him, he's going to get his word across to all the children of God that are scattered abroad, and we're going to lose our place and our control over this nation. Now it's quite obvious that the one thing the enemies of Christ and His civilization, which had its spiritual formation with His words and His instruction in His presence, the one thing they must do is stop what He had to say from reaching people. So one of the first objective warfares upon the part of the enemies of God's kingdom against that kingdom was against Christ Himself, with a design to stop the message He had to bring and seal it off from the rest of the peoples of the Western world, who then lived in Western Europe and who would produce a great civilization, and this they wanted to stop this. We will lose control if this word gets to the children of God scattered abroad. Quite obviously, too, the Jews here recognized that they were not the children of God, but they wanted the message kept out of the Aryan range in the hearing of those that constituted it. Now, we tell you that in these United States today, that we are engaged in a battle to get truth across to people, while people are being neutralized by whole areas of error, which by the communications areas of press and radio and television, and by the utilization falsely and with misuse of your tax money through propaganda agencies maintained by the government in the hands of advisors which are your enemies, and policies which have stemmed out of your enemies They are seeking to blind America and to shut off truth. That's one of the reasons why we tell you today that there is a basic responsibility that belongs to every Christian. Though I want you to know that in over 50% of all the churches in these United States, you'll discover that the minister has been affected by a very careful strategy of ecclesiastical ignorance and error, in which he instructs his members that as Christians, they have no responsibility whatsoever with the political achievements or developments in their society. They are to utterly separate themselves from being involved in any areas of strife or conflict, and they are only to try to get along as best they can as long as they're here so they can get back where they came from. And most of these preachers don't even know that's where they came from. They think they started here and they just hope that they're going to get somewhere. Now, I point out to you that it is very vital and very important that we understand what Christian stewardship amounts to. Of course, the first area of it is to spread the truth, and it's the responsibility of every Christian that knows the truth to spread the truth. And when the truth is spread, individuals are going to understand that those that constitute the white race or the Adamic race were the house of God planted here to accomplish an objective. They're going to discover that God, throughout all the background history of what we call Old Testament years, from the areas of the patriarchs on down to his own messianic identity, were under the skilled direction and guidance of prophecy and destiny, in which God himself moved upon men, stirred and guided them with words of truth and with the lips of the prophets to accomplish a certain objective. That objective is quite clear. God transplanted a celestial people physically embodied through the body of the Adamic race to the world here for one thing, and that was to build a kingdom. The program of God's kingdom is clearly outlined in the scriptures. That kingdom was to grow and to multiply until it filled the earth. It was to grow and multiply until it overthrew all powers of darkness, overthrew all witch doctors and pagan religions, overthrew every dictatorship of anti-God, anti-Christ nations, until it established in its final conflicts with evil the freedom and liberty of all men from the satanic systems that would seek to destroy it, and brought in with full recognition the acknowledgement that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was Jesus Christ. A wonder of the psalmist said, Thy throne is forever, O God. And thus, in the instance of the declaration of the Scriptures, the kingdom of God is tangible and real. With this understanding, I want you to know that a Christian is a citizen in the kingdom of God. A Christian not only is a citizen of the kingdom of God, but upon him are basic responsibilities incumbent. These responsibilities relate to trying to bring to pass all that God has outlined in the program of his kingdom. Basically, then, it is the Christian's business to become involved in every situation essential to bring in the will of God in the earth and in the society of which he is a part. Now, when someone tells you that you're not to have any part whatsoever in any political or social responsibilities in the development of the areas of government or in the areas of society in which you live, on the grounds that if you participate in this, this is the social gospel and to be repudiated, I wish to repudiate these statements tonight as being unbiblical and unsound. When one talks about the social gospel and are referring, when they say this, to the use of socialism and Marxism as a religious philosophy of the church, then we are totally opposed to this kind of a social gospel. When one wishes to substitute Marxism and that social gospel for the gospel of Christ and the program of his kingdom, it has our total opposition. But by the same token, when the misinformed try to separate Christians from the basic responsibility of helping to bring in the kingdom and to fulfill their proper responsibility inside the nations of God's kingdom, then we say that these who thus instruct are in total error. We point out to you that when someone tells you that a Christian is to stay out of politics, we tell you that God Almighty has made you heirs of a great nation. He has placed it in your hands, and you are the stewards for what you have inherited. And you are a people responsible before God for what has been placed in your hands and for the blessings that he has bestowed upon your forebears and those of your civilization and culture by the granting unto them of guidance and wisdom, by the inspiring of them in areas of technology and achievement, until you have produced and created and have inherited this great bounty, which is the culture and civilization of these United States and of the Western world of which you are a part. You are as responsible in stewardship for the preservation of this Western culture for the lifting up of the spiritual standards and the recognition of the only one God that inspired it, you are as responsible for that as in any form of stewardship that men may enter into. I point out to you then that this makes a responsibility to rest upon each Christian. You may say that politics has become contaminated, and that we see all kinds of politicians selling out the political programs of their nation. You may say that statesmanship is fast disappearing. If statesmanship is disappearing, it's because not enough earnest Christians are dedicating themselves to this area of service to humanity and to God. I point out to you that it is your responsibility and mine to institute a statesmanship that has been so spiritually engendered with knowledge and with wisdom and with dedication that we will not have to worry about being sold out to enemies or coexisting with the programs of the devil to our own destruction. It is therefore basic for us to teach our young people and to dedicate ourselves to cleansing and perpetuating this great nation as a part of God's kingdom. If you become a student of the content of the Scripture, you will note that God's kingdom is political. It talks about rule and reign. If you do not think this is so, even in the book of Revelation, where it talks about the climactic patterns of divine purpose, and you hear the very angels say, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. I turn again in the book of Revelation. It says that you that constitute His household in His reign, you that make up the believing offspring of the Most High God, and we shall reign with Him upon the earth. The thrones of administration of politics and of priesthood are here referred to in the book of Revelation. Do not for one moment think that this does not mean the application of government, which government is based first upon the fact that the laws of this government are the laws, divine laws, out of the wisdom of God's own mind, for a perfect social, political, and economic order, for a balanced knowledge and wisdom in all areas of spiritual and natural literacy, that cause men to know the will of God, how He hath assembled His universe, and how He hath put it together, and how it must be ruled. It is therefore the determinate purpose of the Most High God that His kingdom shall survive, that a quickened awakening of His people shall cause them to stand upon their feet, that His great spiritual challenge to His sons and His daughters, to His race, to His faith, and to His nation is the resistance of the forces of Antichrist. Within this plan, therefore, we see that the kingdoms of this world are inevitably to become the kingdoms of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have mentioned to you how in Matthew, Jesus cites that one of the first things that He will do as He intervenes in the affairs of the world is to divide the sheep nations from the goat nations. And He's going to turn to the sheep nations, those that are His weaving offspring, the great white nations of the Western world that make up Christianity today, and say, receive this kingdom, rule over and administer the affairs. And I give you authority, and you rule them with the law, and with the inflexibility of a rod of iron, you're going to see that men are not suppressed, and the forces of evil do not rule, and the laws of God are carried out. By the plan of God is more further extensive for the rule in the earth than men have any idea. If you search the Scriptures, you'll note that God's promises with your race was that He was going to multiply and bless you in the midst of the earth, and that you were going to be a great nation and a company of nations, and that out of your forebears, God said, kings shall come from thy loins. Nations are going to rise. And these are my nations and my kingdom, and my word's not going to depart out of thy mouth or out of the mouth of thy seed from generation to generation. Don't think for one moment that God does not actually plan the occupation of the earth. Someone said this is totalitarian. This has the trend of racism. This has the possibility of total dictatorship under some God. Yes, my friends, not some God, the God. Now, if there are those that are immature enough to say, because there is a racial angle to this, I repudiate it, just go out and resign from the human race and join the Africans, the Asiatics, and the rest if you want to. Oh, you say you should call them human too, Dr. Swift. The word human means spirit man, and this only belongs to those who are the Father's children. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. I point out to you, therefore, that the spirit man or the human race is descended from the Adamic race. We make a total repudiation of the areas of error that would advocate that the races of earth have descended from Adam. Only one race has come from Adam, and that's the white race. And this has been, of course, the issue of God in the world tonight. As such, therefore, God's covenant that had been made with the purest seed of your race was that it would become great nations and a multitude of nations. Its destiny that it will grow and expand, that it will recognize the embodiment of God in His Messiahship. It'll be identified with His name. It'll be known as Christian. A great war is being waged tonight by our enemies to try to get us to deny our heritage. It is your responsibility as Christians in good stewardship to God's program to lift up the standards to which you can repair. The other day, somebody in high criticism in one of our newspapers was attacking the Christian Defense League because its membership was exclusive to white Christians. Why, my friend, should a white man be opposed to a white Christian organization standing up for Christianity? This type of brainwashed pattern demonstrates where the church fails. We are in no opposition today to those that want to embrace Christianity in any ethnic group upon the face of the earth, nor for them to form an institution that represents them in their ascent to Christianity. But for the preservation of our society, it demonstrates today that white Christians had better learn to band together and to fulfill their responsibilities in the defense of their society, because this is the one area to which God has dedicated the authority and promised the vision and the responsibility. For more coordinated and better effort in achieving the program of God's kingdom, it should be maintained a white Christian civilization and culture. And I advocate tonight that it is the will of God and upon the authority of His law that every white nation of the Western world should be governed only by white people in any area of its office, its economy, or in the staff of its teaching. Now, we are well aware that there are great numbers who would like to attack what we're saying to you tonight, and they're perfectly willing to do so. But you give us any audience in these United States of white people, and let me proclaim what God's Word calls them to respond to do, and then let the destroyer say what he has to say, and we'll go away with 3/4 of the people. You say, why is that? Because the Spirit of God speaks unto the heart of those that constitute His household. He says, I call my sheep by name, and I lead them out. A stranger they will not follow. And in many instances, the word of truth will not escape them, and they will recognize this great responsibility. Someone has recently stated that it is our responsibility as Christians that we totally and completely integrate all men as brothers. We totally repudiate the concept of the brotherhood of all men based upon a universal fatherhood. The fatherhood of God belongs to His children, but the Godship of God belongs to all people. For He hath created all things except the issue which He begat. When we say our Father which art in heaven, we are talking to the God who begat us and who is our author and our Father. Therefore, these United States are a great nation which is the byproduct of Western Christian civilization. We may follow the symbolism of Manasseh in the covenants of God made with the great house of His. We have the great symbol of the outstretched wings of the eagle. We have all the marks of our great spiritual destiny from Old Testament to New. And I point out to you that your responsibility as an American citizen and as a Christian is to preserve these United States and its inspired Constitution. It can be improved upon only when it is strengthened, but never when it is weakened, and never when it surrenders any part of the sovereignty of this nation to any power outside of these United States. I point out that it is the plan of God that this great Christian nation and every other Christian nation, whether this be Britain or whether it be Germany or whether it be the nations of Scandinavia, God has ordained that these nations, as members of His household, are to survive. And there will be only one great superior coalition that will take place in God's plan. That is that in the hour that Christ rejoins His people with the hosts of heaven, that He will become King of kings and Lord of lords and become the master of all the earth with all the great countries of His kingdom as though they were provinces in His administration. And then only will there be any transition whatsoever in the status of the nations of the kingdom of this hour. I point out that as far as the purpose and the plan of God is concerned, each and every one of these great nations are a very vital entity. Spiritually, we as a nation already ascribe to the fact of this nation under God. Though a strange thing is developed. In a country where, just a few years ago, to make it more sure that we understood what we were doing, We added to the Pledge of Allegiance this nation under God, and then we denied our school children the right to pray to God or read the Scriptures because the Jews don't like it. What a strange and fantastic development. I point out to you that in this hour it is vital for us to realize that God has called upon you to lift up the standards of His name. He's called upon you to identify yourself with His name and to not be ashamed of Christ and of His message. Now we point out that under this instance that you are not to give acknowledgement to any other god. You're not to co-share any area of respect to any pagan and libelous devilish doctrine. The President of the United States brings a curse upon our country when he enjoins our people to give equal recognition and respect to all religions. I point out he brings an added curse upon his household and upon our nation when he seeks to see laws passed and implemented in America that violate the purpose of divine law in preserving your racial self-respect. As we said this afternoon, this is Mother's Day. The very recognition of the inheritance which we have received from our forebears, transmitted to us and taught to us in value from our mother's knee, brought us to the realization and recognition from our earliest childhood of the Godship of He who we serve. And in this background, the great responsibility of the mothers of our society is to teach their children their origin and racial self-respect, to discriminate in the selection of their companions, and most of all, in those they would marry. It is the responsibility of the mothers of our race to see that our sons and our daughters do not go forth to one end of the earth to the other and bring back from Asia or from any other part of the world brides and bridegrooms that are not of our race. It is the responsibility of the mothers of our society to take up this great challenge where the state is abdicating and where the powers of darkness are suppressing its truth in our churches. Because there is no question about the sacrifice and desire which the mothers of our race have for their children, and in which God Almighty has referred to their spiritual guidance as He talks through the lips of the psalmist about the king's daughters being all glorious within, and they are the daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So let us cite to you that it is the responsibility of every Christian. It is the responsibility especially of every Christian mother to tell her son or her daughter that they have been born into the race of the Most High God's own kingdom, and it is the race that God has elevated above all other peoples because they possess a holy seed, and then challenge them to the responsibility of the moral and ethical codes of divine law, and then to guide them into carrying out the standards of spiritual and moral ethics to see that their race is preserved in the highest status of purity. This is the responsibility of every mother in our race. I point out to you that in this hour there is a definite relationship between your residence on the earth and your stewardship. How quickly there are those that would consign men to endless perdition for any violation of the laws of ownership or of property. For theft or for anything else, they would consign men to perdition. But when it comes to responsibility about building in the same dimension the kingdom of God, they want to separate Christians from it. There is nothing today that communism and the enemies of Christianity want quite as much as you to turn over your nation and all of its politics to the gangsters, the racketeers, and the organized syndicates of crime and vice. Then they would tell you that they would not interfere very much with you if you would not interfere with them. But when they had reduced your society to a nameless mass, they would have enslaved and destroyed the kingdom, which is a part of their master strategy. Thus it is the Christian's responsibility to strengthen his economy and strengthen his society by working for the election of Christians to positions of government. I think we should work to see that in every area of administrative life we have used and utilized and elevated Christians, especially in this country where we are the majority. I point out to you that the national responsibility of God's kingdom is also clear. The nations of God's kingdom are told from the areas of their administrative and governmental level that they are not to entangle these children of God who are the inhabitants of their nation with the peoples of any other nation. For the national responsibility is that you're not to enter into an alliance with pagan nations, with pagan gods, and political philosophies that do not deny your God. Blessed is the nation whose Lord is God, and whose God is Yahweh. But to any other nation that does not recognize that Jesus is the Christ, Yahshua Yahweh, you are not to enjoin yourselves, you are not to be joined together in alliance or in partnership. It is the responsibility of every Christian to utilize his stewardship to seek to separate America from the United Nations and all the Antichrist evil that it represents. Now, of course, if you do that, the captive brains of the enemy will whip their hands in holy horror and say, this is hate and we must suppress it. But we're not interested in the madmen who lift up dogs by their ears, according to Proverbs 26:17. We are interested in the laws of God which build our race and make them great. And I want you to know that in this hour, it is more important that you save America than that you preserve the house of Johnson or Kennedy or any others of our puppet dictators under the rule and guidance of those who are not pro-Christian in their thinking. Those of you that saw the Katanga film tonight saw how the Antichrist is now, in the name of the false peace that he doesn't represent, willing to bomb and to set on fire, liquidate, cut down with machine guns and murder. He will use the pagan troops of all the world and then use your own captive young people to perpetrate the deeds of the Antichrist, financed with your tax money and backed by a State Department, infiltrated by Satan. Unless you set your nation free, unless you demand of your representatives that they take you out of this evil and you repudiate any policy and start to cut off the source of the finance that makes it possible. The areas of Christian stewardship has long been recognized in these United States and in almost every other area where Christians have become alert to their international problems, that among their responsibilities is the support of the work of God. Under the pattern of stewardship, your tithes and your offerings belong to the preservation of your faith. God's Word talks about your stewardship in this area. It also talks about your responsibility to handle with good stewardship all the other blessings that the work of your hands and the blessings of God have provided. When you permit your tax monies to go in the hands of a government in which you, the majority, have the power to control, and permit that money to be spent in supporting the programs of Antichrist, you have to share in that guilt unless you are working with your whole heart and soul to unseat that evil in your nation. You are no longer under those situations in which you can say, we have no power to make the decisions, we have a king. In these United States, we acknowledge no king but Christ, and the President of the United States is our servant. This also goes for the State Department and all the paid people on civil service payrolls or in governmental agencies. And I tell you that it must become the blueprint of desire who will seek earnestly with spiritual guidance for the knowledge of how it can be accomplished that we, that majority that are Christian in America, retake this country and stimulate every other Christian nation to join with us in walking out of the program of Antichrist and financially cutting off its support as quickly as possible. It should become the challenge of Christians to call upon their leaders to render a just and proper accounting of the dispersal of their money, so that in the utilization of their tax program, the monies of these United States shall in no way find their way into the coffers of the communist nations of the world. For by this money falling into the hands of the coffers of our enemies, their military programs are being built up, their functions on joining together with strength, their power to extend it over the other racial groups of the world is well being understood. With the coexistent policy that has been supported by even presidents in your nation from their Jewish advisors, we have watched Khrushchev and other dictators in the communist world become acceptable as statesmen and even received as gentlemen, though their hands dripped with the blood of mass murder of Christians, and their tyranny still becomes a part of a world in transition. In fact, we have not only built Khrushchev, but yesterday Khrushchev arrived in Egypt. And there he received a tumultuous welcome as no man has ever received in Egypt. And Khrushchev, who has secured prestige by American acquiescence and by American following the roots of the same power that built their system, he gained strength in Egypt. Remember that Jewry created world communism. That world communism now functions as the friend of Egypt, and America, responding to the influence of world Jewry, alienates the Arab and the Egyptian world. And at the present time, the machinations of world conspiracy are plotting another world war, and one of the areas of its origin can very well be a battle as Israel steals the water of the Jordan River and upsets the whole economy of the Arab East. And you know that under this instance, both Egypt, who thinks now that it has a true friend and ally in the Soviet Union, would suddenly discover that she's totally at the mercy of the Soviet Union and would lose control over her own territory. And the President of the United States said, when this trouble starts, American boys are going to go out and die for Israel ally, which we are pledged to defend. What a travesty that this great nation of God's kingdom, a part of the true Israel of God, should let any of its sons die for the usurpers who were the murderers of Christ, who were the enemies of your civilization, and who were creating this very third world war, hoping to play one side against the middle and destroy you and captivate you in it. I think that it is more important than ever before that we determined in America that we're going to have Christians in positions of responsibility and put Christians on guard in every office. Someone said, I don't see the opportunity to do this in this next election. In fact, this next election is a very turbulent election, and it does not look as though the right men have a chance of getting in. My friends, you don't even know if there's going to be an election at this point. Because if the enemy in the camps of liberalism thought that election was not going to go his way, he created emergency and postponed election under a war or a race emergency in America. We point out to you that God still sits on the throne. We have had some opportunities to see transitions made in our time. We watched as the communist Goulart regime was suddenly overthrown inside of Brazil. We have watched all kinds of fast coup d'etats in our time. But let me tell you that unless you as a people are successfully able to cleanse your nation of the powers of darkness that seek to destroy it, and the madmen who take the rule and advice of the enemy, who oppose God's law and want to strengthen the international organizations that would rule the world, that God Almighty will bring in the hosts of heaven and eradicate the enemy with a great coup God ordained. Now, there is no if about the fact that we are in turbulent times and that God is restoring with areas of vision the assurance of his hand upon his nation. He will chastise where chastisement is necessary. He will awaken people with startling events. But it is the purpose of the Most High God to lift this nation to its great areas of responsibility again. That these outstretched wings of the eagle have been dedicated by God to the preservation of your race, to those that have the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And this is to be found, of course, in the 12th chapter of Revelation. I want to point out to you wherein we again must make affirmation of our faith. When the Christian Defense League decided that they would try the areas of the mediums of the press in vast paid ads to get out vital truth to America, proof that was important to every white Christian American, the preservation of our Christian culture, they discovered that almost every newspaper was even afraid to take the ad. Now there's an ad which they had to trim down, and in this ad they have an ad and says, if you wonder whether Bible prophecy is true, what happened on May 2nd and again on May 5th, 1964, was described in the Bible 2,000 years ago. And then it said, read Proverbs 26, verse 17 to 19. They couldn't say what it was. They were always permitted to put in the verse. Now, if you come on down the line, you'll see what's happening to Christians today who remain loyal to God's commandments is fulfilled in the prophecies outlined, and then they gave the scriptures. And having temporary advantage, those spoken of in St. Jude, verse 6, 7, 8, 10, 11, 15, 16, 18, and 19, are given to speak openly against the commandments of Old and New Testament and will not permit any to speak openly for it. Therefore, read Exodus 33, 16, and so forth, Numbers 23, verse 9, and on down to Ezra 10, verse 2 and 4. Do you know what it's telling? In other words, these verses are nothing but the Word of God. They talk about mongrelization, integration of race. They talk about madmen that get mixed up in race strife and whip dogs up by their ears. They tell all the things that America should be thinking about tonight. It's all been in the scriptures all the time. Now what I want to point out is that you have reached a time where many, many newspapers wouldn't even take the ad, even though nothing is said here other than the scriptures. They said this would be a terrible thing. Why, we can lose even our franchise to publish a newspaper if we put this in. So here's an admission by newspaper publishers that the hour has come when anti-Christians and those who are opposed to God and to our civilization do not even want the verses of the scriptures mentioned, because they are not only against you, but they're against the Bible at the same time. Now, there's one thing I can say about this ad, for it goes to prove something, that everything that is mentioned here, including the famine of the Word of God in the latter days, in Amos 8 to 11, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, that all of these things are to awaken Americans concerning what's going on and why they should assume their Christian responsibility in these days. It all is on this ad. This is the first of the ads to be published, and this was published by the Herald American of Long Beach, and this is the first newspaper to put in a Christian Defense League ad to wake people up. I want to point out to you that we now have assurance that there are a few more newspapers that are going to take it in. But I want you to know that the major newspapers of this city were afraid to print an ad which challenged Christians to read these verses of Scripture and doesn't even tell them how to interpret it. But I'm going to tell you something. If you go home and read these verses of Scripture, you'll see that God's against integration, that God's against race mixing, that God says, come out from among them, be ye separate, that God's against the United Nations, that God's against letting the strangers rule over it, that God's against everything evil that's hurting America. Now let me clue you in tonight. If God, in His Word, has been against everything that's hurting America, you'd better be for everything God's for and move back into alignment with God's Word. Now I think it's most interesting when newspapers are afraid to take an ad and they're worried about the Anti-Defamation League of the Knife Risk coming in on them. When, as I look over this ad, I can tell you at the present time that the majority, by two-thirds, of all the scriptures quoted are out of the Old Testament. So I can prove to you quite conclusively that the Jews repudiate the Old Testament. It's not their book anyhow. But though they've been trying to hide behind it and say they're the people of that book, when Christians are challenged to read what they say or what the Bible says, they don't want you to read it because they don't want you to find out who you are and who they are not. Don't for one moment think that this is not the hour of struggle. I can tell you God has not held back the vision of the day. He unveils with vision and with pictorial capacity in the minds of His ministers things that shall come to pass. He inspires and fills the vision of the pattern of His Word. You are in for a period of the time of Jacob's trouble, still increasingly to incur problems. There is going to be bloodshed and race war and battling in the streets because of the demagogues who are continuing a policy of evil. But I want you to know that God is going to increase the power which He pours out upon your race. He's going to stimulate great spiritual strength and great courage and raise up leadership. And the enemy is going to be defeated in the very bloodbath that he plans on for your race in this country under God. I'm going to tell you that each and every one of these things which are ahead, it is important for you as Christians to realize that when you see these things happening around you in the earth, it isn't going to do you any good to hear some preacher say, you're not supposed to be here, you're supposed to have been out in the sky by this time. Well, you can say, He gives us some hope, we sit around and wait. My friends, you'll wait till Jesus comes, you're not going anywhere. He puts you down here to do something. Someone said, we're not going to be saved by our works. No, your eternal life and the mighty salvation of God was finished on Calvary's cross. That didn't have anything to do with your responsibility of going to work for the kingdom, for that's what He set you down here to do. Because God has assured your eternal life by the consummation of His own atonement, because he has imputed the majesty of his righteousness towards you, in no way affects his direction towards you in the mighty workings of the judgments of his code and of his law in the areas of your responsibility in human government. Just as long as you're in this body and able to walk around, you better be about your Father's business. You're in the climax of an age, and in this era, the kingdom of God is not going to remain in the hands of our enemies. It is going to be retaken by the saints of the Most High God. And they're going to take the kingdom, Daniel says, and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. Oh, how they would like to silence the voice of the church today when the church declares, "Thus saith the Lord," and then proves it with his word. How they want to separate God's word from politics. You know why they want to get so much religion out of the government? Because you can't have the word of God in government and carry out the policies the government's involved in. If you bring respect and responsibility to Americans upon the foundation of God's word, they're going to clean house in both parties and throw out the charlatans and give you a new day. Just think what it'd be like. Just think what it'd be like to go down someday to a primary and walk in there and find that the man on the Democratic ticket is a fine, God-fearing man, totally dedicated to the preservation of your race and your Christian culture. And then you find the man on the Republican ticket is also dedicated to the same policies, guaranteeing you that he will use the stewardship of his administration, of his office, under God's guidance. And you say, well, there's hardly any difference between these men. And when they get up to campaign, one hasn't anything to say about the other. All he can say is, this is what I'll do if I get in. And then know that he means it. Why, that would be like the millennium. Now the very pattern that it astounds you. The other day I was talking to some pretty smug politicians. And these men were talking about the situation. And I said, just think what it would be like if the candidates for all offices on both parties were all fine, good Christian men, honest and dependable, wanting to preserve America and do the right thing. Well, they said, of course, that's impossible. I said, you know what you've done? You just convicted yourself. You mean in a nation with 149 million Christians, we couldn't find a slate of candidates that would dedicate themselves to function on God's principles? I know better than that. I just know that the kingdom of God is not being given a chance. Someone said, well, Dr. Swift, they wouldn't publish the platform if you came out on God's kingdom. My friends, let me tell you something. When they won't publish the platform of a candidate for God, all that man better do is find a big white horse and climb on it and then get to the people what he stands for, because the people will follow that man. Someone said there's men on white horses already appearing. Well, they're not on the major party tickets anyhow. Someone said, what would happen to our parties if they were both right? The greatest spiritual transition in history. We point out to you that in all the areas of the conflict, it is because in our political life, we have not ordained that we shall select men who promise to carry out the Christian principles of our nation and our Constitution. In this hour, it is your responsibility and stewardship to make known to every individual what God has to say about race relations. Don't you leave this up to some pulpiteer that's already been taken over by the enemy in his thinking. Assume your responsibility to proclaim the truth. Someone said, well, my neighbor won't like it. How do you know your neighbor won't like it? If your neighbor, therefore, doesn't want to hear the truth, remember that he's part of a minority in these United States. There are a lot of people that are interested. The things that are happening around the world are so challenging people that people that wouldn't listen a few years ago because they were just too neutralized by pleasure events and the security of their possessions are now willing to listen, because there are no possessions tonight secure unless you remake America a solid Christian government. people that are trying to preserve their physical inheritance, who are worried about their possessions and are evaluating their action for God and country on the price they might have to pay if they lost these possessions, are not going to have any possessions under the socialist regime that is being built unless you win. I point out also this, that in these United States, the enemy is already frightened. He's frightened and frustrated. It is the Christian's responsibility to see that his influence is used in the government of which he is a majority, as it is inside his own household, which calls for the establishment of our economy upon a Christian basis. We wouldn't have to have war on poverty if we took the parasites out of our way of life. We wouldn't have to war on poverty if we functioned according to the patterns of divine law. And I can assure you today that this war on poverty is to give an acquiescence to socialism, and it is built upon the fallacious idea that it is no longer important that men make a contribution to their earnings. It's only important that they have purchasing power, whether they have worked for it or not. This is Satan's lie. He never delivers on this, but he destroys people that fall asleep under this poison. The Constitution of the United States is not outmoded. It's just waiting to be tried. And I point out to you tonight that when we cite to you that you have a national stewardship, it is your nation's responsibility to oppose Antichrist, not to further the enslavement of men through the United Nations or to finance the kind of an attack on Tantanga you saw in the film, but it is your national responsibility to give stewardship and administration at the level God's ordained this nation shall perform. Since we are in a climactic era, since the events of prophecy are going to be consummated in a matter of the next few years, then it means things are going to move much faster than many people expect. And the kingdom of God and the righteous are going to take over throughout the nations of God's kingdom, which includes these United States, and a drastic change is about to take place. Someone said, are you threatening government? No, we're talking about maintaining government. All we are delivering is the threat of God against the Antichrist, which is not the government of these United States. Under this instance again, we point out that if you read the May 11th issue of United States News, you will remember that what we pointed out to you some years ago, that to try to integrate your society or with FEPC regulations or others force you to grant your services or work for or rent your homes to or your place of business open to anybody irrespective of race, color, creed, or to make you serve them whether you want to or not is totally unconstitutional. We told you several years ago that this violated your freedom, and the whole structure of the anti-slavery amendment was abridged when they said you had to serve anybody, whether it meant cutting his hair or plumbing his house if you didn't want to. And so we discover the Assistant Attorney General of the State of New York comes out with a full article in United States News this week, May 11th, and what does he say? He says we'll have to restore slavery and throw out the anti-slavery amendment if a man must, under these new civil rights legislations, serve everybody or house anybody, either with his services or on his property, because if the anti-slavery amendment stands, then you cannot force a man to do anything he doesn't want to do. That's forced servitude. And if he has to maintain any of the areas of housing or of lodging that he provides, and he has to give it to anybody, it's still forced servitude. Now, the beauty of it is we have in this article the opinion of the courts that have ruled this over and over again. Now, therefore, what do we see? We see that under the Constitution, which has ruled out slavery and guaranteed right to work laws as they relate to the right of a man to choose his profession and to not do within it what he doesn't want to do, that the fact remains that all of the attempted anti-Christ, civil rights, mongrelization, anti-God legislation of the Johnson administration are illegal unless they put slavery back. And if they put slavery back, we don't have any problems. We'll just take our possessions and ship them back to Africa. Someone said, we stand for liberty. That's right. We stand for liberty. But we don't stand for the subordination of the children of God
they're the children of witch doctors, the servants of the darkness.
You know, nobody knows about who's more responsible for your economic trouble than the enemies of your faith and your race, the usurers of Lucifer, the money changers of the Judas gang. I have a Zionist newspaper in my hands, and leading Zionists a week or so ago were talking about one of the big problems that they're faced with down in Israel. The leading American Zionists were there to speak, and Mr. Jack Wistosenoiner of the World Union of General Zionism and Newman warned that in America, the people have found out who controls the economy, and because of this, if there's any economic crisis or reversal, a great wave of anti-Semitism will immediately break out and the Jews will be destroyed. I didn't tell you to clap for that. I just told you this is what the Jewish newspapers say. Now, when a people admit that they control your economy, but they're afraid now since you're finding it out, that means that telling it's worthwhile, that the greatest wave of illumination and truth to sweep your nation in 100 years is taking place right now. That the awakening of the conservatives, the deadly right wing as they call it, the voice of the church, the program of your ministry, has been pointing out what the Bible says. It's been identifying the enemy and pointing out his machinations. Until America is getting angry, the anger is rising up in their countenance, as Malachi said. Eventually there won't be any Canaanites in the house of God. They'll take every ship out. And those that don't go out, God's Operation Missing Team is going to take care of. Now, have you ever considered the horns of the dilemma that these Jews are on? As enemies of your Christian civilization, they have made their fortunes as parasites on your economy. They have always gone along for a while and suddenly pulled the currency out from under you by pulling out the credit on your own money. This has put men out of work, closed down industries, and then they foreclosed on homes, took over their property. And after they held everybody to the extent that they reduced all of the property they had, they stimulated a war between one branch of the white race and another, and then they started all the factories up again by turning loose their phony money. And then they sold it all back to you again and made the profits off the sale. And now after they think they've reached a sort of a saturation point, they plan on again creating a area of withdrawn credit and plunge you into another slump. But now they're caught. America and the world have found out that this manipulation is a Jewish business. How do you know? Because the Zionists talking about it admit the world's found it out, that the Jew controls the world's money, and if we have a depression or a crash, the Jew's to blame, and America and no other Christian country is going to take it. So I tell you what's happening. These Jews right now are trying to figure out how to keep everything going on an even keel and still be paid to be the parasite, but not let you feel it. So he has to do something. One of these programs is to give your money away at high speed on a program that's trying to alleviate poverty. And to direct all kinds of world administration that take the control of your economy out of your hands in the hopes that he can carry out his machinations but not get the blame. But he has to keep you happy at the same time, and he's got to keep the goods moving. And so they said, no, we cannot permit any economic depression to take place in America, or we're going to have to pay the price for it. Well, this is the most pleasing position to see the enemies of God's kingdom get into. But it's much better to take the economy out of their hands and guarantee by proper function, without usury and with the blessings of God on your abundance, that you will be able to create and distribute all the things you need. I point out that it is in the interest of the kingdom of God that you awaken an area of national responsibility. Call upon your leaders to lead nations out of the trap instead of financing and supporting its maintenance. I'm going to assure you that men give account for the powers and the materials that God has put in your hands. God has bestowed upon us a great inheritance in this civilization. Let us make sure as we pass it down that it shines as brightly and its illumination reaches as far. Let us not say we were afraid to be identified We were afraid to participate. We hid the things God gave us because we were afraid. Let me tell you, my friends, this is the time to invest your energies and your faith, your knowledge, and your investment in America to maintain God's standards. Someone was challenging the other day, what will happen if great ads are put in the newspapers calling people to read God's Word, or telling Americans what's happening, and calling on Christians to awaken and asking white men to stand up. They said, it'll be terrible. Why, the enemy's going to jump up and down, and he's going to rage and pull his whiskers and mumble in his synagogue. Well, Jesus told you, and they started in years ago, to deliver you up to the synagogues and to put you in prison. Now, we're taking back America with Christianity by re-electing and by stimulating in every area of national life Christian administrative leadership. And there's enough of us to do this, and we're not going to stop till it's finished. Now, we point out to you this. Every ad, every patriotic movement, every function of opposition against the enemy is not correlated, nor does every independent action the responsibility of this church or of other patriotic organizations. But I'm going to tell you tonight, I stand in principle with every Christian dedicated to the deliverance of these United States from the hands of the Antichrist. And if there is error in their plan, we pray that guidance will correct it. But I want you to know that if America is saved, as surely it shall be, it shall be because God stirred this people across America to accomplish it. There are a lot of people tonight who have been thinking in their closed front rooms and around their dinner tables, were suddenly startled to find out they're not alone. They hear it on the first take. They get their first cross and flag, or their Dan Smoots report, or somebody puts in their hands a newspaper from the South, and they say, why, everybody's thinking this way. We're not alone anymore. You know, if you receive 25 or 30 periodicals a week, and they came across your desk every day about 10 or 12 different important pieces of information, or bulletins by different patriotic organizations, and you lay them all out, none of them are connected, and I'm referring to organizations, not counting the great nationalist movements and patriotic causes that have huge membership, but I'm talking about those that are strong in their state or strong in their community. If you could see the amount of them, you would realize that it is well said that 58% of America tonight is stirring and moving, and this causes great consternation among our enemies. America bought its freedom, willing to lay down its life to attain it, because it was faced with principle. You know that our real war was not actually against Great Britain in those days. Our war was against the machinations of the Jewish money changer that had control of the kingdom and was taxing us beyond our abilities and denying us representation, and had so devised this strategy that if either side won, he intended to become the power. I tell you tonight that an attempt is being made to make it against the law to send through the mail to advocate in public assembly or discuss anything that makes an attack upon a race or a religion. But I'm going to tell you, as long as we have breath as a Christian minister, we're going to denounce the whole program of the Antichrist, and we are going to attack the whole fundamental principle of the strategy of our enemy based on an attempt to crush our Christian civilization. And if they were to make this law stick, the Bible could never go through the mails again, because our position is so well supported on its content. You know what they don't want America to hear? They don't want somebody before a congressional committee to get up and start utilizing the book of John, the words of Jesus Christ. They don't want somebody before a congressional committee, whether the report would go in the congressional record, to turn to the book of Jude or other parts of the scriptures and tell you who these people are. They don't want your race to know that you are the children of God, that this is not just a philosophic concept,
This is a pattern of divine origin. It is your responsibility as Christians who have been given the stewardship of this word. Probably there is no greater possession, there is no more vital force in the creation of your culture, for the opening of the great spiritual vision that has made your people great in the areas of revelation and the maintenance and carrying forward of the Word of God. Its preservation, the clarification of areas where the enemy has sought to tamper with it or suppress its truth, and the bringing to people of its knowledge added to the great inspirational pattern of God is the great source of freedom. This is stewardship. God has placed this word in your hands. He has put it in your heart. He has put it upon your mouth. He has given you the responsibility to tell it, not to disorient it away from earth, but to apply heaven's power to earth, as you have been taught to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Yes, I think that when even one ad gets in a paper like this, you're on the way. This would be a bigger ad, and it would spell out the whole story. And I'm rather interested in the fact that the Christian Defense League said, "Now write in for the full page ad that the newspapers were afraid to print." You know that there is no subject tonight in which America is more vitally concerned than the truth that's being suppressed. I want you to know that if Jesus were to advocate his policies in the administration today, he would be called antisocial and driven out of the cabinet. I'd just like to see him try it. You know, one of the great judgments of God is about to descend upon the enemies of your nation. You know, God's about to bring down men that raise themselves up in resistance against his law and his will. Did you know that there isn't any spot in your nation that is immune to the reaching out of the hand of God for the salvation of his people? The most insecure man in the world today, though we were surrounded by all the security of our nation, is the man that sets himself up against us, saith the Lord. Now, don't, if you're an agent, go out of here and say, "We threatened the president or somebody else." We're just telling you that God can reach down and eliminate any individual in our society that carries out a program to obstruct God's will. I'm going to tell you that my Bible assures me in this hour that their forces of heaven will eliminate and take out of the area of restraint every hindering force that would destroy God's kingdom. They've brought out a book in which, in this book, they are challenging America to repudiate conservative movements and patriots, and they want everybody to read the book. And this book is blaming the John Birch Society and the conservatives for the death of President Kennedy in the face of the known knowledge that he was killed by a communist and eliminated because he wasn't going fast enough. And the President of the United States said yesterday in Atlantic City that one of the terrible things we must do is stamp out hate in the United States, for these people who hate and swing political mud are the ones that killed President Kennedy. And then he came out that anybody that isn't for socialism, federal control of education through its aid, and all the other socialist systems, including the civil rights legislation, belongs to the hate ranks. And he said, "I want you to know I'm going to put this through if I have to hold the Senate here until Christmas or next Christmas." And I want you to know this. We're not only going to oppose this evil, but we're going to oppose it from now, if necessary, to next Christmas, and all the Christmases there are thereafter, and challenge all the kingdom of God to take the position that God has ordained.
If they make bad laws, America's going to repeal bad laws. If they seek to amend the Constitution, we'll amend it again and take it out. Because surely and certainly, we're going to end up with all of that majority. You know, one of these days they're going to see even as the God himself sees, and they're going to know even as the mind of the Spirit understands. It'll be like a nation born in a day, but this is inevitably is about to take place. And Jesus said, "You are not of this world order, even as I am not of this order. But I don't want to take you out. I want you to stay in it and take over. This is the plan." We want to point out to you that along with various areas of development, whereas all pressure is made to suppress your influence in the areas of employment or anything that relates to it, that we have all the evidences of the contamination of the enemy against our society. Take Colonel Gale, for instance. He has been in the sale of securities with Waddell & Reed for over 10 years. And this is United Funds, and this is one of the great funds that the DuPonts were arrested in. And the Jews have always opposed DuPont because of their opposition to the Jewish hierarchy. In the past, this very institution that Colonel Gale has worked for has supported his patriotism and has opposed all pressures. Did you know that a Jew by the name of Cohen from Phoenix, a liquor store dealer, brought pressure on this Waddell & Reed brokerage company and demanded that they fire Colonel Gale, thus cutting off even his continual returns from the reinvestments of his customers, unless they fired him? If they didn't fire him, they were going to pull their money out of the fund, and they were going to spend it spreading Bill Stout's smear against the Christian Defense League and Colonel Gale. And this company demonstrated a littleness that we did not think it possessed and sent a representative to Colonel Gale. They wished he'd resign to save them this embarrassment, but they were bowing to the Jew. And Colonel Gale did not resign, and as they removed Colonel Gale from his position, for a Jew that has only a few thousand dollars in the fund, I tell you that our congregations alone have more than $1 million in investment in this fund. I'm calling on you to tell his employer, Waddell & Reed Incorporated, 20 West 9th Street, Kansas City, number 5, Missouri, to the attention of Bill Williams, I'm going to call on you to write as citizens, as Americans, to this company and demand that they reinstate Colonel Gale. Now, these congregations as churches do not have this investment, but the members of our congregation, some of whom have already talked with you this morning, have almost $1 million invested in this program. That's right here in California. It has nothing to do with Florida and across the country. And I'm going to tell you that I don't think that money is too secure under the administration of people that bow to Jewish pressure if this is going to be their policy. And it's time that as Christian Americans, we demanded that they reinstate, just like the enemy demanded to fire. The enemy's got 3,000 in it in this man. Let me tell you something, my friends. This is going to be one of the most costly withdrawals and the loss of future business, plus Christian Defense League's permanent animosity against an institution that serves the Jew against Christians will be the greatest loss that any company ever had in these United States. Now, we're not about to ask, we're about to start telling. And we urge you to write a letter, whether you have presently or an investor, or whether you anticipate it, by bringing pressure on Waddell & Reed Incorporated, 20 West 9th Street, Kansas City 5, Missouri, attention of Bill Williams, and then register your opposition to this firm's acquiescence. It's been a sound investment firm. We do not impugn in any way its investment program, but we are impugning tonight the policy of any company that will let a handful of the enemies of Christianity interfere with the political and Christian freedom of any employee of this concern. Then to attempt by this to besmirch or injure anybody, which is a part of their design. The enemy doesn't like it because they found Colonel Gales running in the 27th District by the Congressional District of California for the Congress. He might win it, too. I'm going to tell you this. Anytime any patriot takes a stand, whether it's Admiral Cromwell or whether it's Colonel Gale, or whether it's the late General Douglas MacArthur or General Walker, or whether it's the governor of a state like Wallace or anybody else, all you do is take a stand and the enemy pounces on you. In America. I'm going to tell you something. The judgment of God's about to pounce on the enemy of his kingdom. The Father has looked upon his people. He's looked upon their persecution. He has observed all the pattern of the enemy, and he has willed that you, the minority in the earth, one-sixth of its population, are going to rule because you are his children. He's going to spiritually stimulate within the thinking of your consciousness a full evaluation of law and process to bring this to fruition. So do not forget this. Again, we will provide you this address afterwards. If you do not have it, we urge you to make this protest. And across the nation, we call on Christian Americans everywhere to write in and make clear that we are no longer going to tolerate this kind of pressure without letting our voice and its impact and effect be felt and heard by the part of each and every Christian that accepts the challenge. You know, my friends, the enemy cannot exist if it were not for you. And when great companies permit themselves to be controlled by an enemy in the areas of the influence of their policy, they, my friends, have made the wrong choice this time. So we say, tell it, tell it, tell it. Don't let some Christians say this isn't the church's job. Church should be telling men how to get saved. If there's anybody in here tonight that doesn't know that Jesus is the Christ, shame on you. If there's anybody in here tonight that doesn't believe in Christ, that doesn't accept his law and his word and his word, and does not believe the Bible and doesn't believe in their Christian heritage, they're in the wrong place. We've reached the end of the age. We're now in the area that God is calling his people to lift up the standard. You have just